So we left off the previous show. We were discussing the principle of mechitzas nikaras and mechitzas she'en nikaras. Gemara tells us that if
all
you have,
participants are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If you have walls, at least for the purpose of a chasupah, that are not recognizable as walls, because you want to rely on some kind of a principle of good asics. Either you're sitting on top of the amur, or you're sitting on top of the roof, and you're trying to use these make-believe walls, so the Gemara says that's not going to work. Mechitzas she'en nikaras are not going to be acceptable. So we had a machlekes and we shown him what does that mean in terms of gudasik now. So in effect, what we're doing is we're removing the possibility of gudasik is playing out in the chasucha. So some Rishonim said, yeah, you're right. That's what the Ram said in Ochinami, that there never was, never is, never will be a din of gudasik in terms of a chasucha. And the Rambam said, no. The Rambam said, of course there's a din of gudasik in a chasucha. Not in every case is gudasik. On the top of the yomid is not gudasik, but on the top of the roof would be gudasik. The mechitzas are good on the bottom, they continue to the top, etc. But we left off in the previous year within the shitas Arif and the Ran that there, in effect, is no such thing as gudasik in ul-chasukah. So we found that very startling. The Ran found it very startling. But the Gemara speaks about a halacha Moshe Messina of gudasik. So the Ran threw his hands up and he says that according to the Rif, the halacha Moshe Messina of gudasik exists and it's full force in Ochel Shabbos, not in Ochel Sukkah. Ochel Sukkah just doesn't play out at all. So we the Pnei Yeshua, others were concerned with this Ran. Why did the Ran do away with Gudasik in Ochel Sukkah? Isn't there a case that everybody subscribes to Gudasik? Maybe when you have Mechitza 10 Tvachim, normal Mechitza, Schach that's suspended 10 feet up, the fact that the Sukkah is Kshir, isn't that Gudasik? So we discussed the pros and cons of that in the previous year. But getting back to the basic thrust of the Ran, that within the Shittas Arif, there's no such thing as Gudasik. So what is Gudasik? Gudasik must be in Ochel Shabbos. So comes the Pnei Yeshua now with a next objection to the Ran's theory that Gudasik was said dafka in Shabbos, not in Sukkot, but only in Shabbos. Says the Pnei Yeshua, I think I have a raya from the Gemara, says the Pnei Yeshua that is not correct. That Gudasik was never a halacha Moshe Messina and Hilchah Shabbos only. And I'll show it to you why. So we need a little bit of a background. The Gemara tells us in Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara raises a strange question in the beginning of Perek HaZorik, the 11th Perek of Masechah Shabbos. The Gemara wants to know, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? What's the source? A strange question. How do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? So before we even get to what the Gemara's answer to that question is, the very premise of the question is problematic. Because the Gemara does not anywhere ask a question, well, how do you know you're not allowed to write on Shabbos? And how do you know you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos? How do you know you're not allowed to plow on Shabbos? The answer to that, all of those 39 questions is obvious. The Torah says, L'sasik ha'malacha. And we already know, the Gemara tells us in many, many places, we have a tradition, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that what the definition of the word malacha means, that the definition of the word malacha means malachas ha-mishkan. There's a source in Torah Shemukhsah for that idea, because the Torah describes Shabbos, puts Shabbos right next to the parasha of Binyan ha-mishkan, in more than one place. So we know that's the way it is. That's the Torah definition, that's the Torah Shemukhsah's definition of what the word malacha means. So if you want to know what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, the answer is very simple. Just figure out what they did to build the Mishkan. So you have to go back to the architect's plans on the Mishkan and figure out what malachas went into building the Mishkan. Now, truth to be told, there may have been certain activities in the Mishkan that may have been done, but for some technical reasons may not have qualified as malacha. That's a tricky Gemara in the beginning of Baba Kama and the Mishkan of Shabbos. But that maybe Mishkan is not the only criteria. Maybe you need chashivas as well. Maybe you need a malacha chashuva. That's already a whole other dimension. It's not really a sugya. But when it comes to the basic bare-bone definition of malacha, so you just look to malachas ha-mishkan and finished. So we already know that part of the construction of the Mishkan involved the acts of hotzah. Not only hotzah, but achnosa as well. Hotzah means going from Rosh Hashayachah to Shas Aramim. Achnosa is vice versa, going from an outside to the inside. How do you know that they carried as part of the malachas ha-mishkan? The Gemara says that, well, they had to get the krushim. The krushim were the boards. The boards had to be placed onto the wagons. They had to be placed off of the wagons. The wagons had the structure, dimensions of Rosh Hashayachah. The area around them was Rosh Hashayachah. So the Gemara says in the fourth bracha, Masechah Shabbos, it's a no-brainer. Of course you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos, because the same way you're not allowed to write, you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to plant, you're not allowed to cook, you're not allowed to do sow. Whatever the different things were done in the Mishkan were, by definition, prohibited on Shabbos. So that's how you know you can't carry on Shabbos. So why does the Gemara wake up in the 11th parak of Masechah Shabbos, already 100 blot into the Masechta? All of a sudden the Gemara wakes up and says, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? So that question in and of itself is a big problem. So the Rishonim on the spot, Tosafot on the spot, gives the standard answer that you're right. We knew all along that they used to carry for the Malachas HaMishkan. But Chazal felt that Hotzah is so fundamentally different from the other Malachas HaMishkan that if not for a special pasuk, it would never have been Asur on Shabbos. What's so fundamentally different about Hotzah? Sometimes you use a very, very vague term called Malacha Geruah. That Hotzah is a very lightweight Malacha, very, very shvach, very, very weak kind of a Malacha. And therefore, in the end of the day, it is Asur on Shabbos. At the end of the day, we found the Pasuk. But if not for the Pasuk, we would have thought that it's probably not as terrible on Shabbos as we would have thought it would be. What makes Hotzah Malacha Geruah? So many of the Rishonim explain, because the object doesn't change. All the other malachas, the other 38 malachas, the object that you're acting upon changes. I took a raw piece of chicken, it's now a cooked piece of chicken. I took a ripped garment, now it's a sewed garment. I took a blank piece of paper, now there are letters on the paper. Every malacha, there's some kind of a physical change. Comes to Tzah, I pick up my glasses, I walk out of my house, I put them down the street. Same, nothing's changed, same glasses. The location has changed, but the item, the chefta hasn't changed. So that's taka chiddush. So I wouldn't have known that on my own. So Kamash Balan, the Gemara puts a pasuk from Parshas Vayakel, a whole drasha, to explain to you, how do you know that even though Tzor really shouldn't have been Chayev, but Lemaisit is Chayev as well. So when all the dust settles, Tzor is one of the 39 Melochas, there's no question about it. But in theory, I would have thought that it's part of Kamash Balan the pasuk. So comes up in Yeshua with the following observation. He says, if you're going to tell me that there is a Halacha Moshe Mesir and Nechash Shabbos called Gur Asik, what Melocha exactly was that talking about? What malach is the principle of good asik relevant for? Good asik has no impact on Bishul, no impact on Choresh and Zarek, Kotzim, Amar, and Kotzim. The only malacha that good asik would make any sense to is in Hilchos Hatzah. So ask the Bnei Yeshua, isn't the mere existence of a halacha Moshe Mesinai of good asik a proof positive that there is an existence of malachas Hatzah? Why didn't the Gemara answer the question by saying, Menohani Mili, that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? I'll tell you the Menorah Mili. The Menorah Mili is what we have on the books, a halacha Mashina called Gur Asik. What else was Gur Asik there for? Obviously, Gur Asik is presupposing this Malachas Hatzah. So, licked in the halacha Mashina is the prerequisite that's Malachas Hatzah. If there's no Malachas Hatzah, so what's the Baruch Hu telling us about Gur Asik? Meaningless, irrelevant halacha Mashina. So, it must be, says the Pnei Yeshua, why didn't the Gemara say that? Why did the Gemara have to go look for psukim and sources and the Kairos Allah's different sources to show me that Hatzah exists? It must be that the existence of good asik itself is not a proof positive that there exists malachas hotzah. Why? Because just because we have halacha mashina called good asik, maybe that was said in Hilchos Sukkah. Maybe those words good asik that was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, that means when you build a sukkah, you can invoke good asik. Hilchos Shabbos, when you invoke to do what? What do you do with good asik Hilchos Shabbos? And if you live in the world of make-believe, that there's no Isser Valtzah. So comes up Pnei Yeshua, says, just the mere existence of the Halacha Moshe Mesinai of Gur Asik is not an absolute, not an ironclad, not a proof positive that there exists Malachas Hatzah, because we could have shafted it. We could have said, Gur Asik, that's in the Chesukah, I need Gur Asik. The Cheshavis, there's no such thing, there are only 38 Malachas. So therefore, says the Pnei Yeshua, it's possible, it's feasible to say that good asik itself is not the proof positive that Malachas Hatzah exists. But says the Bnei Yeshua, that's until the Ran entered the scene. Once the Ran tells me that there's no such thing as good asik, in Hilchos Sukkah, there is no case, there is no application of good asik, because in Hilchos Sukkah, the requirement of Mechitzas Nikaros trumps any application of good asik. So now you're Mamashir and Shechmei. You just took a Halach Moshe Sinai and said it's meaningless. Hilchos Sukkah, it's Bechlal not relevant. In Hilchos Shabbos, you're telling me, no, it's not said in Hilchos Shabbos, because if it was really truly said in Hilchos Shabbos, what do I need a Pasuk to teach me Hotzah? So therefore says the Yeshua, Mikach that Kusha, Kamash Balan, that the Ran is not correct. Kamash Balan, that clearly there's a din of good asik that was said in Hilchos Sukkah. Whether it was said in Hilchos Shabbos or not, maybe it was, I don't know. But to say that it's not in Hilchos Sukkah, that's an impossible stand. That's the Pnei Yeshua's Chiddush. That's his cash against it.
Isn't the Gemara's answer better? Well,
the Gemara sometimes says, Lam Likra, Hilchos Lam Likra. The Gemara just sometimes says that you don't need both. If you're getting to the same point of Halacha Moshe Sinai and the Pasuk, so why does the Gemara have to bend over backwards and reinterpret Pesukim and Pashas Vayachel to teach Pidez also on Shabbos? It's obvious. I'm walking around with this halacha in my pocket. I don't know what to do with it. There's no other application of it. Isn't it presupposing that there is such a thing? That's the Pnei Yeshua's analysis of that Gemara.
Sometimes the pasuk is interpreted based on halacha. You know what I mean? Is it the drush? I don't
know. Okay. So I think that you're almost a combination of what you're saying. Let's see if we can fine-tune what our response to the Pnei Yeshua's cash is going to be. So we have to take, it's a step back from a step back. You know, we're talking about the details of this existence, Lach Mosh Sinai, we look at the Psukim, there's the Pasuk, this kind of a Gemara is a very striking Gemara in the first place. The Gemara presents a question in the 11th parak of Masechah Shabbos, Menonimili, how do you know you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos? And the Gemara quotes this Pasuk, and then Gemara quotes that Pasuk, and then the Gemara says that this Pasuk is not a proof. And the Gemara quotes that Pasuk is not a proof. Back of it, and finally, Baruch Hashem, we can rest assured, we come to a conclusion, yes, you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. How do we understand these kinds of Gemaras? So the Rambam has a whole discussion about this in his Hakdamah to Bereishis Mishnah. He doesn't quote this Gemara per se, but he quotes many other similar kinds of Gemaras. But we find this almost like a elaborate discussion trying to find psukim for halachas that we know exist. But the Gemara has a havamina in the 11th paragraph of Masechah Shabbos that if we can't find the pasuk, then there's no Israel Tzah. The Gemara forgot about all of Masechah's Erevin, forgot about half Masechah Shabbos. There were 150 blot in Shabbos and Erevin that talk about the Israel Tzah. So the Amoraim all of a sudden wake up one morning and say, gee, maybe it's not true. Menon Emili. So says the Rambam, those kinds of Gemaras, Menon Emili, should not be interpreted as being we're looking for the source of the din. We know what the din was already. We know 100% what the din. There was never a latest asafik in Klal Yisrael for the last 3,000 plus years. You're not allowed to carry a Shabbos. Maybe you can build an Erev, maybe you can't build an Erev, but the basic Issur of Otzah was known to us, as the Rambam. Kach nemra halacha Moshe b'sidei. The Rambam writes this in Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Shabbos, where he writes, Af al pi shekol gufei halachas nemra l'Moshe b'sidei. Even though the basic fundamental understandings of all of halacha were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Rambam writes, Belech Shabbos was one of those, and then the Rambam writes, Hotzah was one of those, says the Rambam, of course Hotzah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That wasn't even a discussion. So says the Rambam, Af al pi chein, even though it was given to us b'al peh, it was also given to us with the source of the Tosha B'Chsav. So the source of the Pasuk of Tosha B'Chsav is not the source of the Halacha, not that we wouldn't have practiced Otzah, we wouldn't have had the Pasuk, but sometimes the Rav Moshe B'Chacham also gave us ways to derive within the Tosha B'Chsav pre-existing Halacha Moshe M'Sinai's. The Ram gives you several other examples. The Moshe is the din of Ayin Tachas Ayin. So if you would just misread the Tosha B'Chsav, you'd walk away with the conclusion that you take a person's eye out. So we already know, says the Rambam, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, nobody ever did that. Beis Din never practiced such Piskei Din. We know Ayin Tachas Ayin means money, refers to monetary compensation. So why does the Gemara B'Kama quote Psukim to teach us Ayin Tachas Ayin is money? It doesn't refer to taking out the money. How do you know? And the Gemara quotes one Pasuk, and another Pasuk, and another Pasuk, another Pasuk. Says the Rambam, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us Dinim as Tosha B'Peh, and sometimes he tells us not only as a Tosha B'Peh, but if you look hard enough, you'll find it in Tosha B'Chsav as well. That's a whole nother understanding of the relationship between Tosha B'Peh and Tosha B'Chsav, that in many areas of Halacha, the Tosha B'Peh already predated, so to speak, the Tosha B'Chsav. That's what some of the Mefarshim point out, that that's really true. The Tosha B'Peh did predate the Tosha B'Chsav. The Tosha B'Peh was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. According to one opinion in the Gemara, the Tosha B'Chsav was written at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. The Gemara has two different opinions. Did Moshe Rabbeinu write each parsha as was given to him in the 40 years? Or does everything Baal Peh, Baal Peh, Baal Peh, the end, the last week of his life, then the Baal Shem Tov to put everything into Chsav? So whether it chronologically predated Tosha B'Chsav or whether it conceptually predated Tosha B'Chsav, Tosha Baal Peh is the basis of everything. So comes the Rambam and says, but every once in a while, we'll have a pasuk in the Tosha B'Chsav to solidify a point that we already know for Tosha Baal Peh. And that's what Hotzah is all about. If that's the case, then we have to look at the Gemara Masechah Shabbos to a whole different set of eyes. When the Gemara in Masechah Shabbos is asking the question, Menoha Nimili, how do you know? What the Gemara is meaning to say is, we want to strengthen a pre-existing Halacha Moshe Sinai. We want to show you that what we already know to be true based on Tosha Baal Peh is also Tosha Baal Peh. So how in the world can you turn around like the Bnei Yeshua and say, wait a second, I already know you're not allowed to carry because it's part of Gud Asik. Of course I know you're not allowed to carry. The whole question of the Gemara was predicated on the assumption you're not allowed to carry. The Gemara's question was not, how do you know you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos? The Gemara's question was, how do you know in Tosha B'Chsav the truth, the authenticity of this pre-existing Tosha Baal Peh? If that's the nature of the Gemara's questions, then the whole proof of the Bnei Yeshua doesn't go anywhere. So at the end of the day, we saw the Shittas Aran. The Aran had quite a chiddush in Esugya that there's basically no good asik in Hilchos Sukkah because Mechitas HaNikaros override any application of good asik. Good asik, if anything exists in Hilchos Shabbos, and we're okay with that. Not the end of the world. We didn't understand why the Aran went so far as to say there's no good asik in Hilchos Sukkah. We thought that the simple case of a 10 tefachim mechitza with a schach 10 feet up is classic udas. So that's the cash that we were stuck in. We're still stuck in that from the beginning of the week. But the Bnei Yeshua is a second objection, a third objection to the Ran, so we're not so sure that we're as concerned with that objection. So when all the dust settles, do we have a requirement of mechitza dikaros? Absolutely. Does mechitas nikaros play out in every single case, or maybe there's a distinction between the pillar inside the sukkah and the poles at the top of the roof? Maybe that was a machlokes to be shown him, but the basic halacha of mechitas nikaros is a given. But now we go back to something that we spoke about early in the week. We can ask on ourselves, benonimili, where did Chazal know this? What's the source of this halacha of mechitas nikaros? And why is it that Sukkah and Shabbos part ways? You know, again, this is a theme that we've already begun to develop, and hopefully we'll develop a lot more over the next couple of Shiurim. What is the relationship between the definition of walls in Ucha Shabbos and walls in Ucha Sukkah? We find two sets of dinim that depend upon mechitzos, and we want to know, are those requirements and criteria identical? So this is the first place where we're seeing very clear, according to many, that there's a big difference between the two. That mechitzos nikaros are required in Ucha Sukkah, and they're not required in Ucha Shabbos. And we already gave a possible reason why, based on the idea of Teshuvah Kein Tadurim. But for the purposes of Shabbos, all you need is a halachic mechitza. For the purposes of Sukkah, you need more than that. You need a halachic mechitza, and then you also have to create that area that's royal adira. And mechitza she'er nikaros may do the trick in terms of halachic mechitzas, but they fall short in terms of being royal adira. So that's at least one mahalach in the sugya. However, there's a long, long, long piece in Reb Chaim. We're not going to read the whole Reb Chaim inside. I don't think we're going to read any part of the Reb Chaim inside, but if you have a lot of time on Shabbos, you can read the whole Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim discovers and analyzes in this piece. Reb Chaim discovers that there are Rishonim who are clearly learning the sugya radically different than the way we just presented. We presented that mechitzas and ikaros is a din prati, it's a localized din nuchas sukkah. It has to do with teshuvah kein taduru. It has nothing at all to do with Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Shabbos Kudasik works under all circumstances. If you have an omud, you have a pillar in the middle of the street, so the walls go up to the top. It's a regular shayoch, it's a regular mechitzas. Mechitzas nikaros don't bother me at all. Comes Reb Chaim and says, but if you start to look at the Rishonim, you'll discover there's a Ramban in Masechet Shabbos where the Ramban clearly disagrees with what we just said. The Ramban describes an omud in the street. Remember, our famous omud, we have a pillar in the middle of the street. It's 10 tefachim tall, 4 tefachim wide, so it's qualifying as a Rishas HaYochid. Comes the Ramban and says, what would the din be if a person takes something from the street and he tosses it over the top of the omud and it gets suspended on top of the omud? Did he just carry on Shabbos bin HaTorah or not? So it sounds like he did. He went from a Rishas HaRabim to a Rishas HaYochid. Where's the Rishas HaYochid? Well, 10 feet on top of the omud, that's Rishas HaYochid. Where's Rishas HaYochid? In order to be Rishas HaYochid, the two criteria are, you have to be 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, and you have to be surrounded by mechitzas of 10 tefachim tall. So here, this fellow threw something, it gets caught on top of the omud. I'm looking around, where are my 10 tefachim? I look in all directions, I don't see 10 tefachim. So the answer is, well, we have good asik, we have 10 tefachim to the top of the amud, and then the imaginary line of Halacha Moshe Sinai shoots up to the top, and you have good asik. So the person has thrown into an area that is labeled as Rishas HaYochid. It's Mechita Sher Nikaros. I'm learning Shabbos and you're learning Sukkah. So Mechita Sher Nikaros, that didn't dira. What does that have to do with Mechitzas? Of course, Mechitzas Sher Nikaros are valid Mechitzas in Ucha Shabbos. So it sounds like a no-brainer. Person throws from the floor, ends up suspended on top of the Yamud. No Shiloh whatsoever. He violated Chil Shabbos Deraisa. Says the Ramban of Masechet Shabbos, that is not true. Says the Ramban, go show me a Gemara that says that. Go learn 157 blot in Masechet Shabbos, 105 blot in Erevin. It's 262 blot, says the Ramban. The Ramban learned it. I can't say. I can bring a Raya Brew from any of them. I was just reading a story about, I forgot who it was, one of the Rishivas from Europe, who was preparing a shir kvoli. And one of the bacharim overheard him preparing the shir. So all they heard was this, brachas. And then he sat for a minute, Shabbos, Erevin. So he went through Masecht, and they asked him what he was doing. He said he was just chasing over each Masecht to make sure there was nothing in each Masecht that it was against the Shtickel Torah that he was saying. So we'll take the Ramban's word for it. The Ramban didn't say this literally, but figuratively said, I went through all the Shabbos in Erevin, 200 plus plot. There's no Gemara that says Beferish that Yechayev for throwing something to be suspended on top of the Yomud. What do you mean there's no Gemara? Good Asik. What happened to good Asik? So comes Reb Chaim and says, you know what the Ramban learns? that you don't say good asik. Catch this one. When you have mechitzos, she'ein ani karas. That good asik is limited to real mechitzos. Then you say good asik. But good asik and mechitzos she'ein ani karas doesn't exist. Says Reb Chaim, where did the Ramban get that from? What kind of spot? Where did that come from? You know where it came from? It came from our Gemara. Let's take a look at our Gemara again. The 11th of the Gemara comes. Let's start over again. We're not even learning Shabbos here. We're learning Masechah Sukkah. I have a pole in the middle of this sukkah. It's 20 amos. The sukkah is 20 amos. I have a 20 amos tall sukkah. The sukkah is no good the way it is. I built a pole in the middle that's 10 tvachim tall. V'yesh brachos sukkah, and it's 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Savar Abayi lemei megud asik v'chitzta. Abayi thought that we applied the principle of good asik. Amalei Rava bina mechitzas nikaros v'leika. Says Rava, no. You need mechitzas anikaros. So until a minute ago, we thought what mechitzas anikaros meant is that in Hilchas Sukkah you require mechitzas anikaros. In Hilchas Sukkah, good asik doesn't apply. In Hilchas Sukkah, there's a din of teshuva king taduru. In Shabbos Erevin, that's classic good asik. Says Reb Chaim, that's not how the Ramban went. The Ramban when trying the Gemara, ma'ina and mechitzas anikaros for leika means you want to invoke the principle of good asik. I didn't say the word sukkah. You want to invoke the principle of good asik. You want to apply that imaginary law of good asik. The halacha b'shin of good asik was only said when you have real mechitzos, not when you have mechitzos that you can't even point to. You can't even see. You can't even find them. You know why? Because they're the walls. They're the sides of the amud. They're not nikaros anywhere. They don't exist anywhere. Mechitzos anikaros means I have four walls built around, surrounding an area. Then good asik tells me those walls go all the way up to Shemayim. But if you have mechitzos that are not nikaros, they're just a block. They're just a golem. They're just a solid block of a pillar in the middle of nowhere. You want to now take those mechitzos and nikaros and shoot them up to the sky? No, says the Ramban. But even mechitzos nikaros, like you can't do that. You can't apply good asik. I didn't say a word about a sukkah. In a sukkah, in a Shabbos, you can't apply good asik when you have mechitzos and nikaros. And therefore the Ramban says, not only is there no Gemara against me, there's a Gemara that supports me. The Ramban got it from this very Gemara. A whole nother legamri, different approach to Sugya. So it comes out, we have a major machlekes, have we shown him, about just literally the translation of the phrase, four words, but inan mechitzas anikaros leiko. You require mechitzas anikaros and they don't exist. What does that term mean? What does that phrase mean? So according to the way the Ran learned and the way conventional wisdom was, that is saying, notwithstanding the fact that these mechitzos are good for Hilchas Shabbos, but they fall short in Hilchas Sukkah because mein mechitzas nikaros v'leika. So the thrust of the Gemara, according to the Ran and the Vishanim, is to differentiate between Shabbos and Sukkah. This is the first Gemara that we found that's absolute, draws a distinction between Shabbos and Sukkah. According to the Ramban, the Gemara doesn't exist. According to the Ramban, the Gemara is not drawing a distinction between Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Sukkah. The Gemara is drawing a distinction within the details of good asik. It's telling me good asik applies by real mechitzas. It doesn't apply by mechitzas shen nikaros. But now, as those who know Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim's main thrust, of course, is going to be the Shittas of Rambam. So now Reb Chaim has to put together and figure out which way did the Rambam learn. Did the Rambam learn, sense conventional wisdom, or did the Rambam learn the Ramban's understanding of the Gemara? So the Reb Chaim put together a couple of Rambams to come up with a third possibility. Third possibility is that in terms of conceptually, the Ramban is right. That when the Gemara says b'idim mechitzas nikaros, the Gemara is not picking on a point in Hilchas Sukkah. That's not the goal of the Gemara. The Gemara is not saying that Sukkah is any different. The Gemara is not highlighting teshuva king taduru. That's not the goal of the Gemara. The Ramban's conceptual pshat in the Gemara is correct, that the Gemara is saying good asik doesn't apply at all whenever there's mechitzas nikaros. However, practically, the Rambam veers from the Ramban. The Ramban concluded practically, therefore, since there's no good asik by mechitzas shen nikaros, if you have a pillar in the middle of the street and I have something suspended above, I'm not chayav for carrying in Shabbos. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, "Befeirush that you are chayav for carrying in Shabbos. Why are you chayav for carrying in Shabbos?" Says the Rambam, "Nothing to do with good asik. Nothing to do with good asik. Where's my Rosh Hashayochid? I'm not surrounded by walls." Comes Reb Chaim and says, "This is the breakthrough of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that when you have mechitzos that surround an area." So says the Rambam, when you have a Rishus HaYochid on Shabbos, a Rishus HaYochid is a new halacha called Rishus HaYochid Ola Adler Rakia. That's the phrase the Gemara uses. Rishus HaYochid is Ol L'Rakia. Once Rishus HaYochid has been created, that Rishus HaYochid goes up L'Shamayim. Says Reb Chaim, does that have anything to do with Gurasa? Catch this one? No. Rishus HaYochid is Ol L'Rakia, not because the Mechitzah is Ol L'Rakia. Mechitzahs sometimes can be Ol L'Rakia, sometimes can't. If the Mechitzah is Nikaros, they can. If the Mechitzah is Nikaros, they can't. There's a new halacha, says Reb Chaim, a brand new halacha, not new Gurasa, called once there's a Rishus HaYochid that's created, Rishus HaYochid me'atzmai, not mitam hilchos mechitza shabai, but mechitza Rishus HaYochid me'atzmai, Rishus HaYochid is oila ad l'rakia. That's just the way Rishus HaYochid's work. Says Reb Chaim, now we can have our cake and eat it. I have an omur in the middle of the street, and I want to know, can I say good asik, can I say good asik, can I say good asik, and extend the mechitzas all the way, all the way, all the way up to Shemayim? No, I can't do that. You know why? That's exactly what Rav meant, but in mechitza nikaros. Good asik presupposes mechitzas nikaros. If no mechitzas nikaros, there's no good asik. However, second question, am I chayav if I toss something from the street above, suspended above? The answer is I am chayav. Chayav for what? Where are the mechitzas? The answer is, you don't need mechitzas. In order to be Rishus HaYochid, you have to be a Rishus HaYochid. You don't have to be surrounded by mechitzas. The din is, you have to have a shem, a cheftza for Rishus HaYochid. What creates Rishus HaYochid? Once a Rishus HaYochid has been created, one of the dinim of Rishus HaYochid tells me that Rishus HaYochid is Ola Ad L'Rakia. So the Rishus HaYochid was created, and now it's Ola Rakia, not Al Tzuchas Mechitza Shabai, Al Tzuchas Rishus HaYochid Shabai. So it turns out we have three different conclusions now in this Gemara, how this is going to play out in terms of this Amud in the middle of the street on Shabbos.
Something, where is Rishus HaYochid? Inside the pillar?
The top of the pillar is Rishus HaYochid. Because that's a din, that an area that is a top of a 10 tvachim area with 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim is a Rishus HaYochid.
Even if it has no
walls. Right, it has no walls. Right, that's right. That's right. It's a mokam ha-mugdar as separate and distinct from Rishus HaRabim. It becomes a cheftz of Rishus HaYochid. Once it's a cheftz of Rishus HaYochid, then it's automatically Ol L'Rakia. So you have three possibilities in the Rishonim. So the Ran and conventional wisdom in the Sugi is that any of this discussion is irrelevant in Hilchos Shabbos. This is a Sukkah localized in Hilchos Sukkah. No impact whatsoever in Shabbos. Shabbos, you go back to the regular rules of good asik under all circumstances. Then you have the Ramban who takes the opposite position and says, no, that this Gemara is not addressing a distinction between Shabbos and Sukkah. This Gemara is telling us that one of the details of good asik requires Mechitzas Nikaros. And therefore the Ramban says, the only way to create a Rishus HaYochid is through mechitzas. If the mechitzas don't exist, then they don't exist. And the Rambam says the Ramban is right in theory in terms of Gurasik, but he's not correct in terms of his practical application, because there's a new din that the Rambam just concluded here, a secondary din called Rishus HaYochid Ol L'Rakia. So three Gedalia Rishayim and three different, all of four, we have more Pshatim almost than words in the Gemara. We have Ba'idah Mechitza that goes only four words in the Gemara, and the Ran had one way of learning the Gemara, the Ramban had a second way, and the Rambam had a third way. So again, those who have time over Shabbos, you want to read through Reb Chaim, shows you the highlights, the nuances between the three sheets. So next week, we'll continue with the second half of the Sugya of Mechitza Sanikaras.
Other than Rambam,
majority of others, other than the Rambam and Ramban, would say you're chayav because
good asik. Because good asik, yeah, simple pshat.